the carriage ground to a halt. As he alighted onto the steps of the great house, May Kelly, Larry's wife, who was as broad as she was tall, toddled through the hall door to greet her master. May was in charge of all household affairs and was as faithful as Larry, her husband. "Not a sign of anything yet, Mr. Macaulay, and her ladyship is in fine form, thanks be to God," May announced at the top of her voice from the hall door. "The doctor is only gone and said we can all sleep in peace tonight. There won't be any child born in this house before sunrise." The master patted her on the shoulder as he came through the door and thanked her for her care and her concern towards all the family. He was a man who cared about people and appreciated the goodness of men and women like Larry and May Kelly. James Macaulay proceeded down the hallway and began to climb the stairs, making his way towards the bedroom. He was anxious to see Eleanor, to throw his arms around her and assure her that he would be around. He had decided that no matter how many more days of waiting there would be, he was not going to work until all this was over. As he reached the top steps of the stairs, he looked back at May, who was still standing there, hands on her hips as usual, waiting for her instructions about dinner. "What date is it tomorrow, May? I've lost all track of time these days." "It'll be September 29th, sir," May replied. "And at what time would you be liking your bit of dinner at?" "And a bit is just what it is, I'll have you know, after all the poor creatures that came to the kitchen door today. The whole day long I was dipping into the pot. You've heard of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Well, this was the miracle of the stew and the spuds. But I did what you told me to do, Mr. Macaulay. I fed them all, and not one of them went away hungry from this house." "Well done, May. I know it's not easy on you attending to all the household tasks, as well as showing kindness to the poor people who come looking for help. But you know how strongly I feel about the terrible poverty around us, and how we must share what we have in this house as long as we have it. God has given to me and to my family many blessings. Our way of saying thanks is by sharing them." "And that you do indeed, sir. May God reward you. Now tell me, what time would you be liking the bit I saved for you?" "Give me a half an hour, and meantime I'd love a long drink of your famous gooseberry juice. If you haven't given it all away to the poor visitors, that is," chuckled James Macaulay, shaking his finger at May in jest as she wandered away to the kitchen to unearth from its hiding place the poison potion, as everyone called it. "How in heaven's name can the man drink the stuff? And my Larry loves it too. One day I'm going to find the pair of them poisoned, and then what'll we all do?" May muttered to herself as she put the key into the lock and opened the cupboard, revealing dozens of jars of her own gooseberry juice. James Macaulay tapped gently on the bedroom door. A tiny voice invited, "Come in." He turned the knob and pushed in the door. "Eleanor, dearest. James, darling, I'm so happy you're home. It has been a long day, and according to the doctor, it may be a long night. But we must be patient and wait for God's time. Now come, sit with me, and tell me all about your day in the city. And then we must talk again about names for the baby."